This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 183, live from the Nintex InspireX conference, where we talk to Ryan Duguid about Nintex Workflow Cloud. Recorded live February 19th, 2016, 17. We're in the 17 year. The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by ShareGate. ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users to be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 365 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check them out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive. Cut that bit off if you like, AC.
No, we're going to ship it. That was good.
Oh, man, I'm getting caught up in years already. The year is young, my friend.
Yeah. All good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Hey, we are in... I thought it was going to be sunny in New Orleans, but it's kind of moderate New Orleans this week.
This is Seattle weather without the temperature.
Yeah, exactly. It's I don't know. It's always nice to visit here. It's been a while since I've been, and we are down here to attend and speak at the Nintex InspireX conference, which is their annual workflow productivity conference, I guess you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great event actually so far. I'm speaking about building solutions with building blocks like AI and bots and Nintex Workflow Cloud. And you're also speaking, right? What did you speak on?
With Nintex Workflow Cloud, you have the ability to call out to external APIs, external services. And one of the approaches they wanted me to show was how to do that using the microservice approach. So I did a session on Monday afternoon around using kind of a containers 101, Docker 101, microservices 101. It was a lot more concept than it was implementation. I didn't do much of a demo. I actually thought I had 75 minutes until about 30 seconds before my session. And then they're like, oh, you have 60 minutes. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to cut the demo out.
Yeah, one of those ones. We just try to cover all your content anyway. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they had sessions. It seemed like the sessions had different times associated with them, or I totally misread it. But either way, the session went well. It was fun talking to people. You made a really good comment about this conference, I thought, around and relating it to SPC. Why don't you share with our listeners? I really agree. It was a really good observation.
Yeah, I think anybody who attended SPC, the SharePoint conference, for many years will probably understand this. And one thing that was really special about that conference was that it was attended by IT pros on the infrastructure side, developers on the dev side, business people and management, designers, name the role, they were all there. And they all had one thing in common. And it made the vibe of the conference really special, I think, because everybody was there from different disciplines, but we all had one sort of focus and one sort of area of interest. And it made for a lot of common ground. And so whenever you were talking to somebody, you always had that, right? You always had some common ground. Whereas a lot of conferences now, it's, you know, where all the products are in one thing, you don't have common ground with a lot of other people that are there. And it really made for a special vibe. And I think InspireX from Nintex, it reminded me of that. Like it had IT pros, it had devs, it had business folks, it had end users, it had the whole nine yards. A much smaller conference than SPC, of course, but it was just very reminiscent of that, of those conferences to me at least.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I enjoyed talking to people and interacting with people at the show where people were, they all had one thing that they were sharing, and they all kind of had one, this similar kind of a background. So the disciplines were, it wasn't like sitting down at an Ignite conference and, you know, hey, what are you here for? It's like, oh, I'm here for business intelligence. I'm like, that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I felt like you could have a conversation with, really, you could have a conversation with anybody that was there. It was, that's fantastic. But another, I guess, interesting aspect of our conference was our hotel ended up being the same hotel where all the players for the NBA All-Star game were going to stay. And so that was happening at the end of the conference after we had left. But we watched them get the hotel ready throughout the week. And then on the last day, I know I flew out early that morning and just saw the overwhelming police presence. I know you kind of left a little bit later and you saw it get even worse than that. So
yeah, I guess you totally blew our cover that we were recording this after the conference.
Oh, Sorry. The interview was at the conference.
The interview was at the conference, yeah. No, so we are not there anymore. I guess we've made that pretty clear. But so, yeah, you left. And the next morning, as I was leaving the conference, probably around lunchtime, we went to go check out. The entire hotel was on lockdown. You had to have security badges to get in and back out. And there were metal detectors and the whole nine yards. And the NBA hired the entire hotel. All the players standing, you know, were there, staying there, I should say. And there were these people, you know, fans that had managed to get in, a couple of them at least, walking around with basketballs, getting them signed. And, you know, at first I was like, wow, there's a lot of really tall people that stay here. But it turns out it was basketball. And I had no idea who any of these people were. I'm not a basketball fan or I don't follow it. But, man, yeah, I think the average height of people staying at that hotel was probably about a foot and a half higher than average.
Pretty crazy, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, we have a great interview coming up with a very good friend of ours, Ryan Duguid. We've worked with him for many years from our days at Microsoft. Now he's at Nintex. He's been there for, I think, almost 5 years now, which is flown by, which is fantastic. And he leads the product effort around Nintex Workflow Cloud, which is their new cloud offering for workflows, obviously. And we're going to sit down and talk to him about InspireX, NWC, and what that means for Nintex and how that, you know, what it means for the industry and businesses and so forth. It was a really interesting episode and chat with Ryan. We chew the fat over this stuff all the time. So I hope everybody else enjoys this as much as I do. We had a great time sitting with him.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of the few people that you get to sit down with that has a really good perspective and vision on where business has come from, where they are, and where they're going. An absolutely fantastic person to put in the role that he is over running product for Nintex. So like you said, he's always fun to sit down and talk to and to chat about this stuff. It was nice to throw a microphone in his face and hit the record button and have a great conversation with him about it. So why don't we go ahead and roll the interview and share the Nintex love with our listeners.
Sounds good. Let's roll a tape.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid's motto is stay ahead. Its mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of IT. Valid is always on the lookout for new colleagues. Are you interested in all things happening in Azure, whether in infrastructure, SQL Server, Office 365, BI, SharePoint, or .NET? Look them up on Valid.nl. CJ and I are sitting here today at the Nintex InspireX conference with Ryan Duguid, Vice President of Product. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Having a good conference.
Yeah? Well, you introduce yourself a little bit for our audience and let them know what kind of stuff do you do for Nintex? What's your role here?
Sure. So as VP of Product at Nintex, I'm responsible for the Nintex Workflow Cloud. We call that NWC. That'll probably keep things simple. And I manage a team of product managers and a team of developers and testers. Responsible for building our brand new platform.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I got CJ here with me as well today. CJ, how you doing?
Pretty good.
There we go.
Pretty good.
So we're sitting here at the conference this week, and we want to talk a little bit today, share with our listeners, you know, what you guys are working on, what your recent product releases that you've had in the last month or so, mm-hmm. and share a little bit about Nintex Workflow Cloud, talk a little bit about Hawkeye as well, a little bit more analytics and telemetry and see what's going on. A telemetry word, I guess we can drink now. this week you've got a conference going on. So what exactly is Nintex InspireX? What are people doing here this week?
Sure. So, you know, InspireX, this is year two for us. Last year in Vegas at ARIA here in New Orleans now. And it's really about bringing together a group of folks who are passionate about workflow. Across our customer and partner base, we have 7,000 customers now, 1,700 partners worldwide. And this is a chance for them to get together, share knowledge, share best practices, and then hear from the folks that make the product, talk to the people who make the product, help influence our roadmap, and understand what we're doing and what we've got coming up in the near future.
Oh, very cool. You had a session this week too, CJ, right?
Yeah, I did a session yesterday on building solutions with bots, AI, and NWC. But I was just going to say one thing about the conference is it's been kind of very reminiscent of SharePoint conference, I feel. And I was talking to somebody about this today because SPC was really known for bringing IT pros and devs and business people together. And this conference has a very similar vibe to that, that you don't get at many other places. That I think was, you know, was special about SPC is bringing that, all those diverse audiences together and kind of got a, yeah, that's how I felt this week.
Yeah, with a very specific focus. I mean, you get the same kind of conference like Ignite.
Very targeted
Ignite
kind of and
does
focused.
That too, but it's a huge, you know, swath of people and subjects that you're going to go focus on. Whereas Here, everyone's focused on one thing, which is cool. So that's a cool analogy. I like that.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with that is discovering how many people care about workflow.
Yeah.
Right? Because I haven't done the SPC thing. Like SPC is a bunch of people who've built their careers around SharePoint. Mm. What you got here is people who've built their careers around automating businesses, which is something you don't often see, that level of passion for a specific domain.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not so much just a product. It's also just the actual discipline that they're actually focusing on as well there.
Yep.
Cool. So in the past, I know a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with what Nintex is and what you've had, what offers you've had in the past, but you guys have really kind of pivoted and made a big change in how you're doing stuff. I mean, I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with the fact that, you know, Nintex had a product that could snap into SharePoint to be able to, you know, extend your workflow to do a lot more with workflow, also a Forms product as well. But recently you guys released the Nintex Workflow Cloud, so we could shorten it down to NWC so we can actually get more content in our episode today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what Nintex Workflow Cloud is and where does it fit like in the market for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important thing is always start with the why, right? So around five, in fact, it's almost my 5-year anniversary at Nintex. It's getting a bit scary to be around in one place that long. but a little over 5 years ago, I was sitting down looking at what was happening in the world and having come from our SharePoint world, right, where that's all you think exists. Mm. And I start looking around and I see, boy, there's SharePoint. That's great. Big platform, passionate people around it. But there's Salesforce and there's Workday popping up for HR and, Xero's popping up dealing with small business finance and Zenefits is popping up dealing with benefits payment and management. ADP's out there as the juggernaut in the payroll world and starting to see, look, Nintex does all this great stuff in the time I'm at Microsoft. But man, that what they do, if you took it elsewhere, could be really interesting. And I got talking with one of the co-founders, Brett Campbell, and I pitch him on this world that I see where, you know, you can have this concept like a master orchestrator across all these different platforms. And his response was, come work for us instead. So, and that was the end of my, that was the end of my Microsoft career, right? and so I came to Nintex with that plan, but at the same time, you know, Nintex, we're trying to navigate moving from on-prem to 365. We're trying to figure out what our place is in a mobile world. And so there's a lot of things to build. So for a few years, put that wise idea on hold and just go about doing the job we have to do, right? Getting the 365 thing up and cranking, building the Nintex mobile app, taking that Forms capability to a new level. And then finally I went, hey guys, we've got to do this cloud thing, right? Because all our customers and partners are saying, Nintex, we love you. And when we use SharePoint and we're building a project in SharePoint, we're going to use you all the time, right? But then there's all this other stuff we do. Custom app dev, Azure-based websites, desktop applications, mobile applications. And we'd love to be able to have the power of Nintex behind that. No code application development, but we can't because you don't have a play. Mm-hmm. You make me buy a set of SharePoint seats. So that's when the idea of NWC comes into being, right? We want to take everything we've learned over 10 years of automating process, we want to put it in the cloud, we want to connect it to every system you care about, and we want to make it better than everything we've ever done before. Because like any product, Nintex as a company has been around over 10 years, you go talk to the devs there at the start, and you're like, hey, this thing over here could be better, right? And they're like, well, yeah, but back then we didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to build this thing from the ground up, I may as well
do it right the first time.
Right, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the workflow cloud. An ultimate goal is, so honestly, look, every product, every vendor now pitches, they got some kind of workflow, right? Microsoft has Flow. Mm-hmm. Salesforce has Process Builder. Workday has their own workflow platform. DocuSign will tell you they automate everything, right? Mm-hmm. They all automate their slice of the pie. Mm-hmm. And the trouble is most business problems, they span multiple slices of the pie, right? So something like HR onboarding, I might start out in Greenhouse doing my recruitment interview management. Then I'm going to move them into a system like a Workday to do all my employee management. I've got to set them up in Active Directory. I've got to get an account in Salesforce. I've got to have some contracts signed in DocuSign. Now, each of these things can control their part of that. Mm-hmm. But someone needs to manage across that entire thing to make sure everything happens the right way at the right time.
Mm. Yeah, you see, I mean, we've seen too, like over time, companies don't just have like that one single vendor that they've put all their hat in, right? So you don't have someone saying that I do all of my stuff with Microsoft. I have OneDrive. I got Office 365. I do Dynamics CRM. I do everything there is at Microsoft. You see companies are much more adapt these days to be fine with using a best of breed product and they want to be able to automate those things between and make sure they link, put those links between them. Yep. Every one of those products has, most of them have ways to be able to hook into them, but it's always a custom thing you've got to end up doing. So you guys fit like in the middle there to be able to help instrument that, those communications between each other, the workflow processes.
Yeah, and do that without code. Like that, that's the biggest thing, right? Nintex has always succeeded by helping people who are not professional developers. Mm. If you're a pro dev, you can use us, make you more productive, make the solution more maintainable. But where we've excelled is the non-pro, right? Like recently we found a customer, crazy off the chart stat, 120 plus thousand workflows on our platform, run over 500 million times a year, right? Now, developers aren't building that many solutions, right? So that business is solving their own problems by empowering people. And then that's the goal behind what we're doing at Nintex.
Gotcha.
I think that Nintex has always been great at that from, you know, the early products in SharePoint around the, when SharePoint didn't have a recycle bin and things, right? Mm-hmm. It was empowering end users with additional functionality and giving them the capability to go do their own things and build their own stuff. And it's nice to see that sort of come all the way through that history of products, and the goal not being the most advanced and the most complicated and, you know, every widget and dial known to mankind, but being super user-friendly and easy to use and seeing what people build with that, right?
Yep. Yeah, and you, I mean, it gets a little crazy, right? Because we certainly didn't build it to have someone make 122,000 odd workflows.
Yeah.
I was surprised when you saw that one.
So it's funny because you go telemetry, right? So and you mentioned Hawkeye. So Hawkeye is this, Hawkeye's been out now for about probably seven months. Mm. And the idea behind Hawkeye is twofold, right? One is just, okay, I mean, more and more workflows, how do I manage? Just classic management governance problem, like, because we're in SharePoint, right? So it just pegs to that.
Yeah, how do you manage 100,000 workflows?
And they're probably in 100,000 sites, right? And so you got a challenge there. And then there's another part of Hawkeye that's more of the visionary, what I call process portfolio intelligence, which is a bit of a wacky term. But the idea of actually understanding what the process is doing for your business and how you can improve things, right? But the early days, like the genesis of that product was the first customer we found that had 3,000 workflows. Right. And they said, hey, Nintex, we love you. Right. We really do. But we've just discovered we have 3,000 workflows. And that makes us a little nervous. Right. Because we didn't know that. We thought we had 300. Mm. And we've gone and talked to everybody. And so the 3,000 are good. Right. Like we've empowered our business for solving problems. It's all good. But we want more visibility. Right. So the genesis of Hawkeye was solving that problem. And then we found someone who had 5,000 and then 10,000 and then 30,000 and then at the top end of town, right? Mm-hmm. And so these are people just saying, look, I want to know where they are. Like, where are my assets? How are they being used? Which workflows are running? Which ones aren't? Which ones can I archive, sunset? All those kind of classic questions. And then, but then starting to go, okay, for some subset of those that I deeply care about, really, they're really moving the needle for the business, how can I fine-tune that? So how can I start to instrument that workflow to understand not just, hey, my onboarding workflow ran 50 times, I onboarded 50 employees, but where's my best source of talent? Right? Where should I post my jobs? Who's my most effective recruiter? What's the average time to fill a role in any given department? Mm. If you start to decorate your workflows, what we call beacons, then you can start to answer those kind of questions too.
Mm. And so the beacons, and I've seen a little bit of the demos too, where you can take a beacon and you can throw it inside of in the workflow at any point within the workflow, wherever you want to say, I want to measure this. I want to measure this point in time with this workflow. And so Hawkeye is helping you see like what the time is between two beacons, when a workflow starts, how it gets from here to here, stuff like that.
Yeah, and the simplest way to think about it is like a hello world beacon, right? Mm. Like, I got here. Mm. And then, like, for any developer
out there, debugging.
Print FD debugging. So it's like
print FD.
It's like that, right? So you start with, I got here. And then that tells you your program hasn't broken. And then you go, I got here and X equals 5. So I got here and the SLA was 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I got here and the location for this case was in New Zealand. I got here and it was in New Zealand and it was a high priority. And so essentially what you're doing is you're tagging key value pairs, metadata pairs at any point. You can either define just a unique point in a workflow or you can bracket sections of a workflow, right? So, hey, entry and exit gates, what were the values either side of the entry and exit? And then some time-based information about what happened in between.
Gotcha. So in the past we've had with your workflow product in SharePoint, we had a really easy way to be able to, I want to kick off a workflow that I built with Nintex. I want to have that fire off when the new document gets added or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Nintex Workflow Cloud, we can do the same kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
But now we can have it, so the workflows don't run inside of SharePoint just like they did in the past. They ran inside of your platform, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're running inside the cloud platform as well. So what kinds of things are you seeing people do with the new Nintex Workflow Cloud NWC that they weren't doing before, that they can do now? Like what kinds of things are they, are is it any features or are capabilities and possibilities is enabling for them?
So there's a couple of aspects to that. One, if you think about workflows event-driven, right? Something happens, run a workflow. And so in the world of SharePoint, and in fact, if you distill it to the simplest, right? You know, if this, then that, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's like that. If this in SharePoint, then run Nintex workflow. That's how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's if anything, anywhere, run a Nintex workflow, cloud workflow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to bind to events in Salesforce, Dynamics CRM, Zendesk, you name it, right? We have a connector framework that allows you to listen to any event in any system and run a workflow. So one aspect of it is for someone who's thinking, like classic example is going to be sales automation, mm-hmm. right? So I add a new opportunity to Salesforce or to Dynamics CRM. Now what has to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to notify a bunch of people. I got to mobilize my sales organization. It's a lead that's coming from a conference. I've got to start trying to compile a set of information about that customer. What are their needs? What industry are they in? And so I'm starting to orchestrate a whole bunch of behaviors. It's very centered around what everyone would call a system of record, mm-hmm. right? And so now, when it used to be a document in SharePoint, now it's a new record in a CRM system or a new case in a help desk system that's triggering that workflow. So there's some interesting patterns happening there. But the other side of it is that we built the workflow cloud so that it can be triggered by anything. So any workflow can be published as a RESTful endpoint, which means you can start to embed workflows into your own application.
Mm.
Now, that gets interesting. I mean, Chrissy's talk is how Hyperfish wrapped that up, mm. right? So what you get is an SI or an ISV is building a solution. They want to have some process orchestration attached to that. They don't want to write custom code to do that.
Mm.
And so now if you think about a set of workflows as really being a lot more like an API factory, right? Where each workflow has a specific purpose that it's achieving. You build it with no code. It's visual. It's easy to maintain version. And then you can embed that into your own application. If you want to change the process, you don't have to change and redeploy the application. You just make a little change in the workflow, republish it, job done. And so particularly at this conference, I think, is where the pennies dropped around that, where people are starting to realize just what's possible.
Mm.
Because in the early examples we showed, it's very much new opportunity in Salesforce, do some Salesforce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's getting across that message I talked about earlier, new opportunity in Salesforce, do some Salesforce stuff, but post a message in Slack.
Mm.
Hey, customer success team, this new opportunity is coming in. If you see them asking for a trial, give them a little bit of white glove treatment. You know, send out a couple of emails to some people. And by the way, it's a big opportunity. It's $1 million one. Send an SMS message to the VP of sales. Let them know we've got an important customer we're working here. So you're starting to now talk to Slack, to Twilio. You're sending out email-based messages. People are replying to those to influence the outcome of the process. So there's a lot of new scenarios starting to open up.
But you can do all of that too without writing any code. You can just instrument it all. Makes it a heck of a lot simpler too. That was one of the things, I mean, that really got me from watching some of the demos, especially this week, was just how easy it was, how simple it was with the designer that you have, with the actions on the side. It just, things were very intuitive. It looks like a very simple solution. Of course, under the covers, it's a lot more complex, right? But it just looked, which is where you want it to be, right?
Yep.
You want it to sit down and be very approachable and stuff.
We've got a really interesting case, right, in Hyperfish where we don't want to build a workflow engine in our product and we just want to trigger somebody's workflow to do the job and tell us what happens at the end of it. And so for us, it's, you know, we're never going to cover the scenarios that all the customers want to do for how they want to approve and route and deal with those sort of approval workflows for when somebody submits profile changes. It might require multi-level sign-off depending on which department and geography, and there's all sorts of pivots you can take. So we'd rather give somebody a much more powerful tool and just say, hey, Hyperfish is going to call that and let it do its work. And then they're in control of designing how they want that process to run and that sort of thing. And then they just call back to us at the end of the workflow with the outcome. And that's kind of done with the Nintex extension
mm-hmm.
framework. Is that the right word? Marketing terms?
Nintex extensions, yep.
The Nintex extensions. And that was pretty cool. In a couple of days, with no code, we worked with Ryan's team and the guys at Nintex on defining some swagger definitions for our APIs, and we were able to really simply drag them into Nintex Workflow Cloud, define an extension, and then they pop up in the toolbox in the workflow designer just like any other native action in NWC, and drag them out like any other action and configure them like any other action in the UI and things. Yeah. And so from an ISV's perspective, that's really, really powerful. But I think even more interesting will be customers building their own extensions for their own internal systems. Like it could be some billing system or some accounting thing or order processing system or something like that. And being able to trigger workflows externally and then have their own defined extensions for calling back into those systems would be really interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting aspect too, because as you said, you're an ISV. You don't want to invest all this time to build a giant workflow engine.
And no, they've done all the work for us.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they're the experts. They've got the domain knowledge and everything.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, you'll have some customers that are probably of a certain size that don't have that need, right? But then you had to invest all that stuff, and they're still having that capability they could take advantage of, but they're not going to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you got other larger customers who will have that kind of need. They do want those kinds of extra process to kind of come in play, and they may already be a Nintex customer. They may, and if they're not, they can still see that, hey, this isn't an add-on that you're buying for Hyperfish. This is a new thing that you're going to have the ability to do to leverage not only with Hyperfish, but with all the other stuff that you're using as well today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The interesting thing there is, and now is roadmap conversation, right? Where does all this go?
But hey, read my mind. Yeah,
give it away the secrets. So what gets interesting, we look at the Hyperfish example, right? And option one is Hyperfish builds an extension, right? So they have a custom connector within NWC, and that defines what events can NWC listen for in their system and what actions can it take against their system. So that's nice and simple. Customers bought some NWC, bought some Hyperfish, and they're making them work together, right? The next level becomes Hyperfish say, well, you know what? For customers who haven't bought NWC, and we're not in the business of selling, right? They're an ISV. They're not in the business. Love them to sell my product, but whatever. So they could then say, well, hey, I'm going to spin up a NWC tenant behind Hyperfish, and I'm just going to provision workflows in there for each of my tenants, right? And I'll use NWC to be my workflow capability, right? Mm-hmm. So Nintex does all the heavy lifting. They manage the cloud service. They do all the scaling behind it. And I'm attaching workflows to every one of my customers, right? And then the final solution that we're at, and so that stuff's all possible today. Then the final solution we're after is to essentially say, well, what if Hyperfish found themselves in a situation where the customer says, all right, I want Hyperfish, and I want to be able to build heavily customized workflows within that environment, but I don't want to leave that environment. So essentially, you're talking about an OEM type play, effectively.
Right.
And so how can I take the workflow cloud and enable Chris to bake it into his application without a bunch of heavy lifting, right? And if you look at so the session CJ did with Jeremy, it was interesting. I had someone come up to me afterwards and go, that was awesome. The extension stuff's awesome. But I think the real message there was, don't build your own shit. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Build on the shoulders of giants. Mm-hmm. Now, the advice I give there, if anyone ever went, well, hey, Nintex, big dog in ISV in the SharePoint ecosystem, how did they achieve that? It's because we didn't build an engine. Mm-hmm. We built on top of SharePoint, and we leveraged SharePoint for file storage, two-dimensional data structure, for the permissioning, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, and that's awesome, right? And I know how awesome that is because with the Workflow Cloud, I've had to build a bunch of that myself. Right? So it's expensive. However, what I told the team as we built the Workflow Cloud is, okay, now that we have to build that ourselves, because that's now our core business in the cloud, mm-hmm. what are the other things we don't have to build ourselves, right? So we don't have to build a bunch of racks and a bunch of servers to run this because we can use Azure.
Yep.
We don't have to build our own queuing systems. We don't have to build, we can tap into Azure Functions. We don't have to leverage, we can use Auth0 to do our authentication. We shouldn't build our own authentication provider with SSO, mm-hmm. right? There are people out there who specialize in that. And so the ability to tap into that then allows anyone to bring a product to market faster, right? So this guy comes up to me and says, hey, was that the message from CJ and Jeremy? I'm like, yeah. Like, if you listen, like, and I've watched firsthand, right? So Hyperfish goes from nothing to a product in market in under a year,
yeah.
right? You could never have done that before.
No, yeah.
And so if you look at the list of things that you would have had to have built by hand, it would have taken you 2-3 years, at which point maybe you're not even relevant anymore,
yeah.
right? The problem's gone away. So taken that approach, then I look at Nintex and the workflow cloud and I go, okay, well, we're kind of the same, right? Because if you look at that concept of an API factory, you go, okay, well, I'm going to build a little workflow here and I'm going to embed it in my application. And that's the thing I don't have to build myself. That's lines of code I don't have to write, maintain, deploy, scale, worry about CI/CD pipelines, deal with Docker containers and spinning them up and spinning them down and all that kind of stuff. So I outsource that problem to somebody else. And I think like everyone can benefit from that, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at all of us and our background and probably most of the people listening here, first thing you want to do, crack open Visual Studio, write some code.
Mm-hmm.
And you really got to know, like, I think the highly skilled developer of the future is the one that goes, really?
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, I still remember the first time I wrote my own Java library to do RGB conversions for color schemes in an application and thought it was super clever, and then I discovered there was like a method for that. Right? So, so there is now, there's a method for that, right? It's NWC.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, it's more that you want to be, as a professional developer, you want to focus on what's the value that you're going to add.
Yep.
Is it a, like in the concept of like what you guys are doing, with the concept of Nintex or Hyperfish, right? Is there somebody that's doing exact? Is there a service that I can use that gives me that generic capability that is transportable between different providers?
Yep.
Authentication, queuing, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's stuff that we can definitely use across different platforms. So go get somebody else that's done that. They know the ins and outs of it. They know how to scale that. You don't want to have to be a queuing expert for that
kind
of stuff.
It's the modern version of, now we've got matches, but we don't need to invent how to create fire each time.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Same sort of deal, just on the new version.
Yeah.
Well, and you got to get, Brian, right? Brian Cook, founder of Nintex and Hyperfish, right? So he sends me this article the other day, and it's the what's your unfair advantage? That's what you got to focus on, right? What's the thing you do, especially like in a product company?
Mm.
What's the thing you do, right? I'm not in the business of container orchestration.
Mm-hmm.
So if I find my guys writing lines of code to do container orchestration, I got a problem on my hands, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the business of making workflow design, execution, and management easy, consumable by the masses. You got to focus every line of code that we write on that problem, not on all these other ancillary supporting functions.
Yeah, they don't contribute to the bottom line. They're distractions in a sense.
Yep.
One of the points I made in my session yesterday was, as developers, we kind of default to, or engineer, anybody with an engineering background, right, kind of defaults to wanting to build it themselves because they're like, well, I need all this flexibility and I can handcraft it just perfect for me. And it's going to do exactly what I want, and it's going to take up all my time, and I'm not going to ship anything.
That's right.
And it's going to be a great solution for me.
For me.
For no one else right now.
And sometimes that's needed, but only if it's your secret sauce, right?
Yeah.
And there's one caveat to it, right? I mean, this is in your session. Jeremy brought it up that, look, sooner or later, so now I've got my Nintex lines of code, and then I've got my secondary and tertiary providers, right? And then eventually, and I hope to have this problem, right? I mean, we've been in market now for 3 months. So one day I hope to say I've got 20,000 customers and COGS management's my biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that right now.
Yeah.
Right? But at some point in time, you will flip to that mindset, right? So at some point in time, I'll look at it and say, well, and I've watched other peers in the industry hit this point where you use something like, and it's not picking on anyone, right? But like, grab something like intercom.io. It's a phenomenal piece of capability. Drop it in my application. I can have real-time interactions with my customers while they're trying my product. And it's working. It's awesome, right? And then one day, and I'm paying by user.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, I've got, a million users a day trialing my application. And I'm looking at what I'm forking out. And sooner or later, it's a build by partner conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm saying, well, I'm funneling $5 million a year out to them.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, there's a tipping point where I go, well, I'm cool at 1 million, cool at 2 million, cool at 3 million. Like, how much of this thing am I using? And is now the time for me to hire a team of 5 dudes to build my own version of it?
Yeah.
And eventually reduce my dependency on that. So, and I think some stuff at the start will make sense. You'll get up and running quickly, and then progressively you might engineer it out. And then some other things are going to stick around forever. I'm not going to engineer Azure out of my application, right?
Right. It's a lot of the same thing, like what you had, like Google in their data centers, right? Where they're originally buying servers and putting them on racks and stuff to build up their environment. But now it's like, no, we can do better. We can build machines that are more specific for what we specifically need by just building our own hardware now. So they don't buy stuff off the shelf anymore.
Yeah, Dropbox did the exact same.
Yeah.
They moved from a cloud, I think, I can't remember which one. Was it Amazon?
Yep.
Yeah. And they stood up their own infrastructure, designed their own hardware, designed their own I/O and disk systems and stuff. And arguably that would have taken them years, right? But the idea was that they could eke out every little ounce of performance out of it and really streamline the whole thing.
Yeah, but they were already to market, right? They were already at market, that's right, and they're already seeing revenue, so they could fund it.
But if they started with that, they probably never would have launched.
Exactly, right, because they would have run, the runway would have come up.
Yeah.
So where do you see things going like toward in the future with this? Where do you guys want to take Nintex Workflow Cloud from, like an extensibility thing, from other features that you guys have on the roadmap, of course, stuff that you can share unless you want to, you know, do any kind of announcements here. That'd be great on the show.
Coming up in March from Nintex, right?
You heard it here exclusively.
Yeah, we should have told people in the keynote.
We ship every 2 weeks, and so there'll always be new features. That's the easiest way to look at that. No, look, we launched on November 22nd. Mm-hmm. Official date was actually 19th under the cover of darkness because I wanted to get out ahead of schedule and see how things were running. We've got a few months under our belt. We've got people starting to use the platform. The charts are looking really nice in terms of, you know, new trial signups, partners jumping on with internal usage rights. I always like to see that. We're a partner-led business. If the partners are using it, they're going to start figuring out how to put it to work for the customers, right?
That's good.
We've started closing our initial deals with some of our... some really nice big brand name companies, which is good to see. Mm. So we're on a roll, right? And now we go from a world of Ryan's clever ideas to drive some of the roadmap and the product manager's clever ideas and some interaction with customers and partners who we've got in the pipe from a beta perspective to really listening to everyday users saying, I tried this didn't work. I worked on this was awesome, but I think I'd like to see that. I need a connector to this system, right? So we... to an extent, move into a world where we are going to be a lot more reactive to market feedback, mm-hmm. which I think is good for any software company, right?
Yep.
So now you've got a delicate balance, right? I've got what those people are asking for. I've got my vision for the future. Now I've got a bunch of engineers, like they always are, telling me about technical debt. You know, well, we've got to go back and fix all this. Now they'll be harassing me about this. But, it's interesting. So, and to their credit, they're right, yep. right? But, and in my job in all this, you ask like, hey, what's my purpose in Nintex is to get those people to work together, right? So, okay, engineers, bring me a list of tech debt, sorted, filtered, prioritized in agreement across the entire dev team, mm-hmm. right? Product management, bring me a list of features, functions based on feedback from sales, support, customers, partners, your own genius ideas, my genius ideas that I foist on you every day, sort, filter, prioritize. Right, now let's interleave these things. Mm. And you know what? We should fight and argue about that, mm-hmm. right? And then no one should walk away sad, mm-hmm. right? Don't get upset if your thing's not at the top of the list. And in fact, you should want to bump someone else's up. That's a sign of maturity. Mm-hmm. And so we have to balance all that out. But as far as bigger picture goes, look, honestly for me, the big thing at this event was Nintex extensions. Being able to rapidly build your own custom connector. Authentication, events, actions, right? Now, it's so simple. So CJ has always gone way more technical than I've ever gone, even though we finished studying at the same time at the same university. So when he says, hey, this was easy, and I created a Swagger document, and I put an extension in, that's cool. Like, I created one, yeah. right? So everybody here, you know, it's the little gimmicky things to get people excited. So in my keynote demo, light bulbs turned on and off, right? Cheesy as all hell. But so I go out, I spend $50 on a Wi-Fi light bulb. If anyone wants those, lifx.com, it's freaking awesome. tell them I sent you. So then first thing is I actually used our call web service action, which is our most sophisticated action. So I now know how to call REST web services. So I'm pretty clever. But I went, that's cool, but I can't, in a live keynote demo, I can't crack open the call web service action and describe the endpoint, the method, the headers, the request body, and the response codes, right? That's ridiculous.
Right.
So the purpose of extensions and the connectors is to be able to mask that up into a nice shiny UI. Mm-hmm. And so, and I had a little bit of help here from two of my architects, Adrian and Murat, but being able to go to editor.swagger.io, pop up the little editor, go to the LiftX website, grab a little sample of this and a sample of that, and I end up with about 30 lines of declarative text mm-hmm. that describe how to turn a light bulb on and off with a specific color, huh. right? I click upload that into the workflow cloud. Now there's a connector in the toolbox. Mm-hmm. And now on stage, I can drag that on, power state, drop-down list on, color, drop-down list red, job done. right? That's pretty cool if I can do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a tech guy anymore.
It was a pretty effective demo. It was a very effective demo, just sitting there watching. That honestly was one that made me realize, like, going, God, this is really simple.
Yeah. No, here's a sneaky...
If even Ryan can do it.
If even Ryan can do it. So here's... Jeez. So here's...
You're such a
Ryan can still write code. So here's a sneaky of it though, right? So the gold standard in this space for connecting things in a totally different way, right? Not workflow, but moving data around is, I think, Zapier, right? Mm-hmm. You guys have all used it.
Love it.
Pretty cool, pretty easy. Mm-hmm. For someone who thinks I can do workflow, there's a whole world of hurt coming, right? But but you can chain systems like I talked about earlier, right? And they have 700 connectors in the gallery, right? Now, do I want 700 for Nintex customers? Of the 700, I reckon 150 are interesting, mm-hmm. and the rest are trendy hipster valley, manage your ice cream truck things. I don't know, right? Yeah. But do I want 50? No. Do I want 250, 300? Absolutely, right? Do I want to build all those myself with my precious engineering resources? Nah. So extensions is the way to do that, right? I want my customers, my partners, my ecosystem, and those players building the connectors themselves, right? Taking ownership of that, being the stewards, and not making it about talking to APIs, but about providing an outcome to a workflow designer, right? Great example of this is DocuSign. So if you want to get a document signed with DocuSign API, it's about 7 API calls with a little while loop, with a little counter, with a little callback to say, hey, is it signed yet? Is it signed yet? Yep, it's signed. Download the document, right? Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, you could build that in our workflow designer, right? You could orchestrate that outcome, or I can give you an action called get document signed, mm-hmm. right? So if you look at the ifs and the Zapiers of the world, they're exposing API surface area. I'm trying to expose outcomes. So what I want to do is be able to have the connector describe all those APIs, but package it up in a UI that's consumable by an average, you know, garage mm-hmm. dev or something like that, mm-hmm. right? So that's, so as far as roadmap goes, like that's a big announcement here, right? We've got that available in beta. We want people building connectors, drive that forward. But beyond that, honestly, the fascinating space for me right now is this concept of each workflow being a little mini program mm-hmm. that was built visually by a non-professional developer that achieves an outcome that can be easily wrapped up and consumed by anyone. So that sort of embedded play is a big thing for me. How that plays into the IoT space with the light bulbs, sensors, triggering workflows, talking back to all the devices out there is pretty fascinating. But I think one of the spaces I've got a close eye on now is the shift in UI towards the conversational and the interactive UI that's voice-based, that's bot-based. And so the sort of the out there thinking right now is how do I take that and apply it to what it is we do, right? Now, there's some no-brainers. Hey, Nintex, like we have one of our guys has built an Echo integration. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nintex, I want to go and leave from Monday to Friday. Great, job done. Want to simplify that kind of thing, that's all well and good. But what about if a workflow is actually an orchestration of a conversational interaction where I'm talking to a bot, hey, I need to replace a light bulb in my office. Hey, sounds like you need a facilities and maintenance request. Is that right? Yes, great. Let me direct you to that workflow that can help you out there. Now that I'm in there, well, where is it you want this done? I need to understand the building, the office. Great, got that. Okay, leave it with us. We'll get back in touch with you. Now that bot goes out and says, well, what has to happen next? Oh, I got to get Joe down in the warehouse to see if we got the light bulbs. Right. Okay. Hey, Joe, have you got the light bulbs? No, I don't. Oh, well, let us put in a procurement order and Joe, we'll come back and tell you when we've got it. And so then you have this intelligent agent that's orchestrating both the conversation as well as the system integration. And so I think if we can bring that kind of technology and overlay it on the engine we've got, then you start to get a whole bunch of new ways of interacting with technology and systems.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's cool. It's a cool vision. I like that. We're coming up on want to be respectful of your time, coming up on our end of our interview here. Do you have anything that you'd like to share with our listeners on, like, where should they go, call to action? They should go to check stuff out, learn more about the extensions, learn more about Nintex Workflow Cloud.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I'm biased because I drive the Workflow Cloud, but my colleague, Alex Burton, he's going to want to plug for the SharePoint side of the business as well. So it's obvious, just go to Nintex.com, right? Mm-hmm. Why is Nintex being successful? We make it super easy to get our product, try our product, right? So for NWC, get in there, get a trial, play with it. Ryan.dugood@nintex.com. Tell me what you think, right? I want to hear directly from people. I'm not the high and mighty guy in the ivory tower, right? Hawkeye, wire Hawkeye up to it. Hey, we're shipping. So there you go. There's a unique insight. We're shipping Hawkeye integration for NWC next week.
Awesome.
All right. So get in there, hook Hawkeye up, start to see what you can do with that in the workflow cloud and the other products. Little known capability, Nintex mobile app, right? Take your processes on the go, your tasks, your jobs. You can customize that thing, skin it, brand it, mobile application deployment capabilities built into the platform. There's a lot of things to your point at the start. We're known as the SharePoint workflow guys.
Yeah.
The worlds have changed, right?
Yep.
And everyone, that's been the talk track here since the keynote yesterday. Like, shit, I didn't know Nintex did all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And so get out there and see what it is we're doing, because our world's changing, your world's changing. Try the products. Tell us what you think. If you love it, great. Thumbs up. We'll do more. If there's something you want to see us fix, tell us and we'll get it fixed.
Awesome. Ryan, hey, thanks a lot for sitting down with us. This has been really enlightening. I hope our listeners are going to get a lot out of this to find out more about what's going on in the Nintex world.
No problem. Glad you guys could come to the conference.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Likewise.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide us a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes for each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading to our website and entering your email to interact with us. Participate in upcoming interviews and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.